Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. We know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
We are back. It is the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Jace Morrow, youth pastor at Cheyenne First Baptist Church, talking to us about living to remember. So let's continue with this great lesson.
All right. And so just kind of recapping what we've covered so far is talking about, you know, going through seasons of difficulty and moments of like that. We talked about how God sees us to it, where God is goes before us, before we even get to our problems, working in the midst of it before we get there. Second thing is that God sees us through it, is that he's not a distant God, but God is actually right there in the midst with us. And where we left off at, we see where Joshua is, where they have crossed the Jordan River, and now he's asking a man from one of the 12, of one man from each of the 12 tribes to grab a stone and stack it in the middle of the Jordan River where the priest stood, and they stacked them. And they got the 12 stones, and then they stacked them as on the other side of the Jordan where they camped for the night, and they're stacking them there as well. And so, and we just talked about, you know, there's got to be a greater significance. Why is that? And they, and Joshua even said there in 6 and 7 that we read earlier about that this is supposed to be a memorial for Israel forever. So when future generations, when your children ask, why are these there? It's a reminder of God's faithfulness and deliverance over the impossible. And so the last point that I have is this, is not only does God see you to it because he's there before us, God sees us through it because he's there in the middle of it with us. It's the idea that God sees us over it. God sees us over it. And we look in Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. It says this: the people came up out of the Jordan, and on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers, is as in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And so now, not only did they stack to the 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River where they were, where they miraculously crossed over, not only did they stack 12 stones once they just got out of the Jordan River where they camped that night, now they're on the they're in a place beyond the Jordan River at Gilgal, and they stacked 12 stones there as well. And so yet again, Joshua reminds them about, hey, when your children ask you about these stones, what their response should be. And it should be about how God, during an impossible, difficult moment, stepped out before us, did a miracle, and was with us through it, and delivered us to the other side. Mm-hmm. However, I think there's even a deeper meaning that for these three stone memorials of remembrances, right? And so these stones are important, much like a gravesite, much like a family heirloom, much like a memorial flag being placed out by one of our brave men or women who valiantly defended our country in the Army, right, when we put the flags out on their grave. So whether it's a family heirloom or the memorial flag placed on our veteran's grave or graveside, we know that that token itself or that item isn't what holds the significance, right? The significance is the person that it's connected to. It's not so much the flag that's the significance. It's the person that's connected to, or the family heirloom that you have of so-and-so's in your family. It's not the family heirloom itself. It's the person that it's connected to, that it's tied to. A couple of Christmases ago, I don't remember if we had moved to Cheyenne or not. I think we may have at one point, but we went back to Fort Cobb, where I'm from, had Christmas with my parents. And so it's all of my little family and my brother, my mom and dad, and my aunt. And I had one of my best friends in this world was my grandma Thelma. She was my best friend, helped take care of her for a long time. And she took care of me growing up. So we just flipped roles as I was older. And she passed away like 2 months before my first child was born. And we wanted so badly for her to meet Everly. But it's really cool how yet again in those moments, Grandma T passed away. But yet 2 months later, there was a life gone. But yet there was a life given. I mean, we got Everly, and Everly acts a lot like my grandma. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of pretty cool. It's cool like how God works in those. But my aunt gave my daughter this glass porcelain, or this porcelain, it's like a heart lock box kind of thing. And she opened it and I saw it, and it was my grandma T's, and she gave it to Everly for Christmas. And I saw it, and I bawled like a big old baby. Like, I just bawled my eyes out. And and it was because of the how important that is to me to see that my first daughter got something of my grandma's. And the significance isn't that porcelain heart container. It's the person that it was connected to, right? Mm-hmm. That's the significance behind it, is the person that it's connected to. And so now I get to tell all these wonderful stories about the wonderful woman that my grandma was to my daughter whenever we see that. And we remember stories, and I get to tell her of the great things that my grandma did for me, the funny moments we had, because she was a character, and much like my daughter. And so the significance isn't that family heirloom. It's the person it's tied to. And so when we look at these stones, and when Joshua is telling the nation of Israel that these stones, these stacked stones, are here, it's not that the stones are important. It's not the stones that are the significance. It's the person that it's the person who's significant that it's connected to. It's the greater significance of the stones and what it represents, and what those stones represent when the nation of Israel look back at the impossible moment that they were in, trying to cross the Jordan River at a time where it was overflowed, where it was impossible to cross over, yet God was there before them. And yet whenever it was impossible to cross over, but yet God halted the waters and made the ground completely dry for them, and he was with them through it. And then they all, the whole nation of Israel, delivered to the other side in the promised land, where God saw them over the situation. So we stack these stones of remembrance, and Joshua tells them, you want to know why? It's because of the person that it's connected to. It's the remembrance of the real storytelling of God's power and deliverance of how we got here. So it's not, and the thing is, it's not found in the stones, because what's going to happen is 10 years later, 50 years later, 100 years down the road, the nation of Israel can look back at those stones, and ain't nobody going to remember, man, those stones are really cool in formation. Why are they there? And right, they're not going to think about that. But it's we're there because the stones themselves aren't telling the stories, but the people. But through the people is how the telling of the stories get passed down, right? So it's not the stones telling the stories of God's faithfulness, but the people themselves that become living stones of remembrances, right? And so as God's people, our testimonies of God's power and deliverance are the greatest memorials you and I can have. And so we shouldn't keep them to ourselves, but share it with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, everybody. And so Joshua is stacking is having them stack these stones, and he's saying all this time, when your children ask, What do these stones mean? You shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you to pass over it, as your Lord your God did to the Red Sea. He dried them up so we can pass over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So the people, the stones are not the significance. It's the person that delivered them. And so it's the people of Israel who are actually the living stones of remembrances. They are the ones that will point out when the people ask, what do those stone means? What does that mean? They'll be able to say, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you how he delivered us through the impossible. He also didn't just deliver us to it. He was with us through it. And then he also got us over it. And I can't help but think, like, through all the difficult moments, through the difficult things that we go through in life, especially now that COVID has rocked and changed our world in every way, shape, or form, and we will never see the old normal again, right? We're just going to have to adjust and keep pushing forward and moving on. And we go through all sorts of just different, I mean, even without COVID, there are so many different things that happen in life. And instead of getting so caught up in all of that, like I said earlier, I think it's so easy to be in the middle of hardship and yet not see how God moves in those moments until you're out from those moments. Being able to get past whatever you're at and then taking the time to reflect back and look back and see how God actually moved throughout that whole time, how God actually delivered you through those moments. And I really think that is really beneficial to your spiritual growth, of being able to, instead of complaining and whining and moaning and groaning, but rather taking the time to look back and reflect back and go, when people can maybe obviously can know that you've gone through something and yet you got through the other side, and they go, man, girl, I don't know how you got through that. How in the world were you able to withstand all that? How did you do that? I don't know if I could have ever done that. Like, how'd you do all that? And then that's where we go through those rough moments, and we know that God is already beating us to it, and he's going to help us through it and get us over it. And we are, as God's people, are living stones of remembrances that go, you want to know how I got through that? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about my God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about his faithfulness and his power of deliverance and how he's able to get us through that. And so we see that in Joshua, where he was able. See, Jesus is the greater Joshua. God used Joshua to lead this nation of Israel that was on their destination to the promised land. And Joshua used that, was used to get us, the nation of Israel, to the promised land. And Jesus is just the greater Joshua, because Jesus came here and lived a sinless and perfect life, leading anybody who is willing to follow him into the promised land. That we know this as a personal relationship with God the Father. The promised land is God, is heaven. And we cannot get there on our own accord. You cannot be good enough and hope you've donated enough to charity and hope you've done enough good things at the end of this life, because you can't do good enough. It is only the good works of Jesus that he did on the cross for us is how we can be delivered fully and have eternal life. And so the encouragement of this is for us that maybe have been going through a season of difficulty, and you may feel alone, you may feel partially defeated, and I get that, but just let this be a constant, let this be a reminder to you. Maybe you need to reflect back and just think about how God's faithfulness has been with you the whole time. That God, and you may feel like, well, I don't feel like God is with me right now. I feel alone. I feel distant. And then God never leaves you. God never disowns you. God never abandons you by no means. He never forsakes you. Know that God is going to see you to it, that God is already there in it before you were there. And God knows how to work it there. And God is with you through it. He's right there in the midst of it with you. He's not going to let you battle it on your own. If you were able to handle things on your own, there had been no reason for him to come.
You know, one of the scriptures that jumped out at me, Jace, was Joshua 4:5, where it says, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take a stone on his shoulder. And I thought, those were not little stones. Mm-hmm. Those were big stones. Yeah. They had to put them on their shoulder. They were heavy.
Right.
And that says to me, you know, we're going to have some heavy burdens in our life. But God, just like he took them through that, will take us, as you said, he not only takes us to it, he takes us through it. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, the things we've been through just the last few months, which is nothing compared to what some people have been through. I'll just have to say that. Mm-hmm. But I look at the health issues that Joe has had, and, And one of the first scriptures that came to me is, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And someone close to me was like, how could this be good?
Yeah.
Well, it can be good in that we can show how God has brought Joe through this.
Yeah.
How God has healed him. How God has been there with us. And I've said all along, if nothing else good came from this, it has strengthened our relationship with the Lord. And I felt like it was already strong, but it's gotten deeper. And for our kids, our grandkids and friends, and maybe people who don't know the Lord, to see how God is so faithful and how he works in our life and how we couldn't have come through this without him. And that's what I was thinking about as I was reading that, about the stone on their shoulder, a heavy burden, but God's there.
Yeah.
Oh, but God.
Yeah. That's kind of where I've been. I feel like I've been taking a lot of self-pity and kind of whining and groaning in all seriousness, COVID is really that was really the first time my health has ever been put on check. Mm-hmm. I've never had a health issue or problem. And since then, I have so many fill-in-the-blank ologists now that I have to go see and visit. And I'm like, dude, I am like 30 years too young for this. Like, this is way before. And so... So it kind of, maybe more of a mortality check of just realizing your days are numbered.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
know when it is.
That's right. Better be ready.
So you better, in which I am ready, but I live with the mentality of, I don't know if the people around me are.
I know.
I know where I'm going when I die, but I don't know where other people are going to go where mm-hmm. I die or when they die. And so... there is a sense of fear of just not knowing death. So there is a part of where, you know, you just naturally have a fear of dying and mm-hmm. and what I'm leaving behind, but it's more so of, man, there are several teens that I still know that they don't know Jesus and mm-hmm. their parents. And so I live with that mentality of, look, I know what I'm going through is difficult mm-hmm. and rough, but man, God can use that, for his good. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, I've been that way about my friend Ann that was in church yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she talks like she's going to heaven. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I keep telling her, if you haven't accepted him, if you haven't confessed your sins, if you haven't asked him to come live in your heart, you're not going to be in heaven, Ann. You know, and yesterday when the preacher was talking about loving your enemies and you maybe can't hear her over where you're sitting, but she talks out loud in church.
Oh, yeah, I can hear.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers me. But
oh,
anyway,
yeah, that's okay.
Anyway, I told her a couple of times like a little kid, you know, shh,
yeah.
keep talking. But anyway, she leaned over to me and she said, if someone would kill you, I couldn't love them. Mm. And I said, after church, I said, you have to love your enemies, but you don't have to like what they do.
Right.
And she also said somewhere in there, she's like, I can't love them Russians. And I addressed that, you know, later too.
Yeah.
We don't love the Russians. We don't love what they're doing, but we have to love them. It's a commandment. But the thing she said was, I can't forgive them. If someone would kill you, I couldn't forgive them. And I said, then you can't be forgiven.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just still concerned. I've prayed with her a number of times, but she just hasn't asked Jesus to come into her heart yet.
Yeah.
And that's a concern to me. And I thought maybe yesterday... I noticed during one of the songs, she really wasn't singing. She was just looking at the words, and I thought, I think the Lord's working
just
in her.
Just processing.
Yeah,
some
processing.
Things.
And I didn't know, you know, I was just debating, do I say to her, would you like to go to the front, or do I just wait another time?
Yeah.
Such a burden.
Yeah,
such a burden.
Because does she have a lot of... head knowledge of Jesus, of who Jesus is?
No, I don't really think so. She was raised in a Catholic church, which
didn't mean
anything.
Oh, so that's going to take some unwiring.
Which I don't think she was actually in that much. Her mother was killed in a car accident when she was, I believe she said she was 15. But when she ever went to church, it was a Catholic church. She said, I didn't understand any of that. You know, they talked in Latin all the time and this and that and so on. Mm. But she believed that her... mom probably went to heaven because she was Catholic. And, you know, one of the things that that one of her friends told her was you can't pray to God. You had to pray to Jesus, and Jesus prays to God. And I'd gone through that with her just last week, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're three in one. It's like water, mist, and ice are all of the same thing.
Yeah.
But they look, you know. Anyway, I don't know how much knowledge. She doesn't have a Bible, and she said she's had three, but she doesn't know where any of them are. So I've been trying to make time to get over to Sarah and get her a larger print Bible and one that's easier to understand, like maybe the new.
Yeah.
What's the new version that you have? The Passion Translation. Because she said she tried reading the Bible and she couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And if she had something a little easier, either New King James or maybe the Passion Translation, she could understand it better. So I'm just, you know, just praying for her. And she knows I pray for her all the time.
Good.
And she said to me the other evening, she's like, you know, you've just been a friend to me ever since I came. And I just appreciate that so much. And she even made this statement, you know, I just want to be like you. And I said, you can be better than me, but you got to ask God to come into your life and get Christ in your heart. And then he'll give you all this stuff. And one of the things she was worried about was, when I get to heaven, is he going to smack me around for this bad tongue I've had? And I said, when you get Jesus in you, that will go away.
Yeah.
It will. You start filling yourself with the word and the scripture, and that's going to leave. Of course, anytime I'm around her and she uses a curse word of some sort, I'll go, what? What was that? So then she'll change it to a nice word of the same meaning.
the same meaning.
Monica, you had your microphone up there. You want to put your 2 cents worth in?
Yeah, I've got a little something. So today would be my Mark, my late husband's birthday. He would have been 60 today. Mm. We would be celebrating his birthday today. Mm. So yesterday, as I'm sitting in church, and I'm in church sitting there, and grief started speaking to me and just telling me all these things. Well, you know, and I had to, sitting in church while the pastor's preaching and tears rolling down my face, because grief is trying to reattach to me. Mm. I had to sit there during church and close my eyes. And in me, with a whisper out my mouth, just a whisper where nobody else could hear, I had to begin talking back to the grief. Because the first time grief started talking to me, it took me into a circle of self-centeredness. And I almost died. And this morning I woke up, and there it was again. Grief trying to talk to me. And I just open my eyes, and I said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Because I know that he's with you. And I thank you, God, for the years that I was blessed to have him as my husband. I thank you, God, for the years that I was oh so blessed to be his wife. And I thank you, Lord, for the memories I have of this man. And then I told that grief, in the name of Jesus, you move away from me. Monica honestly did not feel like getting up. Monica didn't feel like getting dressed, but my Jesus gave me the strength and the courage to get up out of my bed and put my feelings in check. No, girlfriend, you're not going back to that circle of self-centeredness. You're going to get up, we're going to get dressed, and we're going to go. And when I began to talk to my feelings, putting my feelings in line, I got a text message from a gentleman in Oklahoma City who is new. He's a new creature now. And he was confused. He didn't totally understand dying to the flesh. So God gave me an opportunity this morning to share my Jesus with someone in need. He said, I don't understand this dying to the flesh. Can you help me understand? I said, oh, brother, you done hit the right person this morning. Let me give me a fresh cup of coffee and sit down with you for a minute. I said, let me tell you about the flesh. It don't want you to do anything that God wants you. It's going to go against it. So dying to the flesh is not physical. It doesn't mean you go out and commit suicide. It doesn't mean you go out and hurt yourself. What it means is moving yourself out of the way and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and move through you, for you, for His glory. And I told him, I said, today would be Mark's birthday. Today is Mark's birthday. He would be 60. And I have a choice to make. I want to. I feel like staying in bed all day. But that is not God's will for me, to lay in bed and grieve. God's will for me is to get up and move for Him, to glorify His name.
So you gave him some personal examples. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're a living stone of remembrance, like we've been talking about. Yeah. You're able to reflect back, like, oh, let me tell you about...
Let me open my treasure chest here. Let me open my treasure chest and share my treasures with you. until you have your own treasure chest open fully. Because I don't know how long he's been clean, but he is a new creature. And he just needs someone that he can say, hey, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Can you explain it to me? And that's I know how that feels.
Yeah.
Because I've been there.
Right.
And I have pastors that I can go, knock or call and say, hey, I don't understand this. Can you help me out?
Yeah. And that's good that he knows that he can come to you for that stuff too.
Yeah, I just thought it was so sweet how the Lord moved this morning in my life. Mm-hmm. Here I am not wanting. I got a case of the don't want to's,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
But God said, oh, honey, come on. Come on. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Get up.
You'll see you through
on.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool good. Story. Do you have any closing remarks that you want to tie this all up with, Jace?
I think I used them all earlier.
Okay.
Other than just if you're going through a difficult moment and just have the assurance of knowing that our God is still faithful and good and still delivers people Amen. To it, through it, and will get you over it.
That's right. Will you pray to close us out?
I will. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time we've had just to worship you, and God, for your word, God, that cuts deeper than anything else. God, I love that your word is like a mirror to us, that we can read it, and it's not that we see our reflection, but God, we can see maybe where we've struggled and maybe where we've fallen short, and God, we see your word in all its perfection, and where we need to come to you, and God, where we need to allow your word to change us, to shape us, and mold us so that, God, we are better image bearers of your Son, Jesus, to the people around us who need you. God, I pray for those that are maybe have tuned in, that, God, have maybe been going through a difficult season, for a long time, and just feel like, God, I don't feel a break coming. I don't feel a breakthrough. But, God, that we would just remember that you have been faithful and good to us all along, that you have brought us through so much. And, God, maybe what we need to do is just pause and look back. And I think when we take the time to pause and look back and see how far you've brought us, God, we will be humbled by how great you've been this whole time. And, God, it's so easy for us to complain when we're in the moment and forget to stay humble and stay thankful for everything that you've provided for, because everything that you have done is more than what we've ever deserved. And so, God, the fact that you are still with us, God, is a blessing. And so, Father, I pray for those that may just have been waiting for a breakthrough, and maybe they would just hear these words of how you've delivered over and over and over again, that, God, that if we haven't gone over it yet, we can have hope because we know that you are with us through it. And God, there's nobody else I'd rather have on my side than you. There's no one else I'd rather have leading me through it than you. So, Father, I pray for anybody that may be hearing this, that may not know that safety, that may not know that type of deliverance, and because they've never been fully delivered from their sinfulness. God, I pray that they would come to realize that they are broken, sinful people, just like all of us. And there's nothing that we can do to try to act and be good enough. But Jesus, it was your sacrifice on the cross that was good enough. And Father, if we would recognize that we are sinners, and that we acknowledge and believe with all of our hearts that Jesus truly is the one Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, but was not defeated by it, rose from the grave 3 days later. Lord, if we truly believe with that in all of our heart, and we just confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved. Father, I pray for somebody that would hear that message and would seek you out and surrender their life for you for the first time and have salvation. So, Lord, we acknowledge you in all that we do. We pray for this ministry here that, God, you would just continue to use it to reach everybody and everybody who would tune in. God, we love you. We praise you in all that we have. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Great, great lesson today. If you missed any part of it, go back and watch on Facebook, or if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, you can send them to our website, therockchristianmusic.com. Have them click on the Hour of Power and go to Monday, and it'll be posted over there in a little bit. Doesn't go there quite as fast as it does on Facebook. Second that we hit end on Facebook, it goes right over to Facebook. It's been a blessing to have you today. We appreciate you taking time to come in. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Jace, have a blessed day, and we'll see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.